Chapter 20. The Woods. As Robert and Chris sped away from Dr. Howard's house, with Rennie sitting behind Chris and holding on for dear life, the three friends celebrated with a triumphant cheer, but their victory was short-lived. Seconds after turning down the end of their former instructor's block, they heard a pair of sirens in the air. Robert swallowed hard. It was clear those sirens were not only real, but they were meant for them.
What? Does Dr. Howard have the police on speed dial?
Rennie asked.
It's the cops, lame brain.
Chris shot back through the gusts of air lapping their faces.
He doesn't need speed dial. He just has to call 911.
The wild boars couldn't yet see their pursuers, but that didn't stop them from formulating a plan. As ever, Chris turned to his leader.
What do we do, boss?
He asked.
Evasive action time again?
Robert thought for a frenzied moment and then shook his head.
No need to split up, he explained. They can't chase us in the woods.
As Robert banked left onto Pine Street, Chris followed closely behind, a little too close, in fact. Finally revealing itself, a cop car screeched around the corner behind them. Distracted by the noise, Chris turned his head to glance behind him and almost rammed into Robert's back tire.
Look out!
Rennie warned, pointing ahead. Chris instinctively whipped his head back toward the front and clutched the brakes on his handlebars. His front tire missing Robert's vehicle by inches.
Watch it!
Robert scolded as they headed toward the greenery of the town's forest.
Sorry,
Chris apologized as he sped alongside Robert so they weren't lined up in a collision course.
Remember,
Rennie reminded Chris,
if you wipe out, I wipe out.
Don't tempt me,
Chris rejoined.
Save it for later,
Robert recommended, as a second cop car whizzed by their right side.
Looks like the boys are back in town.
Given the dire circumstances they found themselves in, Chris attempted to lighten the mood by mock singing Tiffany's hit song.
Don't think we're alone now,
he marveled, slightly changing the chorus.
Ugh,
Rennie suddenly cried.
What's the matter now?
Chris asked, more than a little annoyed.
I swallowed a bug,
he replied.
Deal with it,
Chris yelled, as he accelerated his bike down the suburban street. With one cop car behind the wild boars and one flanking their side, they were practically surrounded. And the driver behind them noted as much with his bullhorn.
Pull over, boys,
he advised.
Let's talk this out.
Nothing doing,
Robert muttered to himself as he accelerated his dirt bike to and through the forest perimeter, with Chris matching his stride. Both Robert and Chris easily trampled over the low brush lining the entrance, but then had to quickly maneuver around the fast-approaching thicket of trees, almost colliding with each other in the process.
Give me room,
Chris ordered.
You're the one who almost crashed into me before,
Robert reminded him. As Rennie dug his sausage-like fingers into Chris's stomach, fearful tears lining his cheeks as tiny rivulets, he whined.
Let's just get through this safely, okay guys?
Both Chris and Robert answered by taking separate paths.
Guess we have to split up again after all,
Robert admitted.
See you on the other side,
Chris called out to Robert. But he was already gone, lost in the lush brush of the densely packed forest. Chris tried to spot him, but Robert's green bike was easily camouflaged by the leaves, an extra benefit for evading the police. As dozens of trees whizzed by Robert's bike, the sides of his legs almost glancing the bark, he thought about the exciting speeder bike chase sequence from the movie Return of the Jedi. Simply recalling Star Wars conjured memories of seeing the movies repeatedly on VHS in Danny's bedroom, and then reenacting the scenes with his brother, using the iconic Kenner toys. As the warm, wistful memories swirled in his subconscious, Robert was whipped back to reality when a low-hanging tree branch practically knocked him off his bike. He knew he might not be as lucky next time, and daydreaming in his subconscious could lead him to being unconscious, permanently. As he progressed further into the woods, the forest was becoming denser, the spaces between the trees narrowing. Just then, Robert got an idea. He dug into the floppy novelty hat Rennie had brought along to their heist and retrieved the small silver laser tube,
quickly hooking it into a power source on the bike's front.
While still attempting to maintain control of his vehicle, Robert aimed the laser's barrel at the closest tree and pressed down on the power button built into the side of the invention. Instantly, a red blast of energy projected out of the tube's circular opening, slicing the tree in half. Crack! The two halves of the trunk fell on opposite sides of each other, and Robert easily drove right through the center, bouncing over the stump. The smoldering embers smelled of scorched earth as Robert passed through the burnt bark, its seared edges still flickering an orangey-yellow flame. In a brief, absurd moment, he felt like a circus lion leaping through a ring of fire.
"Good job, Dr. Howard," Robert said to himself with a wry smile.
Robert blasted several other trees in his way until he felt like he was playing a Nintendo game. Each easily fell to construct a unique obstacle course that he had to navigate through.
The larger tires of his father's car rolled comfortably over the smaller fallen logs on the forest floor.
And in the back of his mind, Robert wondered how his improved bike would handle the hazards of Danger Peak, which loomed ominously in the distance. But again, there wasn't much time for contemplation, only concentration on his expert riding skills, lest he topple over the bumpy forest debris. A giant tree with an enormous base, possibly the widest in the entire forest, was quickly advancing. Robert deftly maneuvered his bike around the massive tree stump, and as he zoomed past the knotty base, he could see its twisted roots lining the soil like intricate natural calligraphy. Robert's dirt bike bounced precariously up and down over the many tree roots, rocks, and sand mounds, and just when he thought the vibration would shake his vehicle apart, he spotted a clearing up ahead. It looked like the remains of a previous forest fire. Immediately, Robert steered his bike into the open area, relieved that he was more than halfway through the woods to meet Chris and Rinnie on the other side. Robert smiled with relief, when suddenly, a squirrel leaped from a tree onto the ground directly in front of him. Robert forcefully swerved his bike to the left and almost smashed into a tree. The swift, jerky motion caused him to lose balance and he fell off his bike, rolling several times into the base of a large tree. Robert watched his bike skid to a halt near some thick brush. Luckily, there appeared to be minimal damage, and the engine was still purring. In a rush to mount his bike once more, Robert leaped to his feet, only to feel a sharp sting jabbing his left ankle. He yelped in pain as he realized it was sprained. To add insult to injury, at that moment, the squirrel he weaved around to avoid came prancing past him.
"Thanks, man,"
he said sarcastically to the capering animal, which, in his mind, seemed to be comically chittering away at Robert's spill. Robert looked behind him, and it seemed the coast was clear. The cop cars obviously couldn't follow him into the dense forest. His plan had worked. Now he just had to escape the woods before nightfall. Fortunately, he wasn't too far from the edge, where his suburban town gave way to more navigable sidewalks and streets again. Wincing in pain, Robert hobbled toward his bike, carefully lifted it so the seat was aligned with his waist, and gently hopped on. Revving the engine a few times to make sure it was still operational, he then squeezed the accelerator and took off. A little slow at first to regain his balance, and then almost at full speed. Since he knew he was no longer being chased, he kept his speed far below the maximum limit. After a few minutes of carefully navigating the maze of the woods, he saw an exit up ahead. Robert's ankle was still throbbing, and he couldn't wait to get home. He sped further toward the forest opening, delighted that he had completed his journey, and mostly intact. The only lingering question was whether Chris and Rinnie had made it as well. But when he finally exited the forest, he realized he had nothing to fear. Chris and Rinnie were sitting on Chris's bike, patiently waiting on the other side.
"Slowpoke," Chris teased his friend with a half-smile.
"Yeah," Rinnie added. "What took you so long?"
"I had some trouble, but I'm okay now," Robert explained. "Let's go."
"You don't have to tell me twice,"
Chris said excitedly, as he revved his bike into high gear. Just as they were about to turn around and go home,
a pair of cop cars sped to a stop on either side of them to block their path.
Chris lowered his head.
"And you thought this was going to be easy," he said.